I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I've been here enough. You shouldn't have to practice, but I guess you do. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, does your Sunday change your Monday? Does your Sunday, you're not helping me now, does your Sunday change your Monday? That's who God is, and that's what God desires. And we're going to take a look at Isaiah chapter 58 today, where God asks this question of us, does your Sunday change your Monday? You see, you know what, y'all? We were made to do great things. Can I get an amen? When we accept Christ, we become his poinea. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we are God's workmanship, and in the Greek that word is poinea, that great work of art. Not a piece of work, but a piece of art that God created for us to do great things. For we are God's workmanship, created to do great works that he prepared beforehand for us to do. That's the cool part about it is God's taking care of us. God has saved us, sent Jesus down. He left. He stopped and saw our need. He dropped down from heaven, and then he rolled upon that cross. But not only that, the stone was rolled away that we could have life and have life abundantly, but only through faith. Only through what? You're not helping me today. Only through what? Faith. And so then he's saying, you're God's workmanship created to do great works that he's prepared for us to do. Titus 2:14 says this. In the ESV says, he who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Who are what? Zealous. I love that. Come on, help me now. Who are what? Zealous for good works. So God is saying, I've saved you for a purpose. I've saved you not just to do a little something in your life, but I've saved you to pour myself into your life that then your life will be poured out into many others. That's who God is and what he does. Matthew 5:16 says what? In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and praise you. No. That they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We have been saved not merely to avoid evil, but to do good. We have not merely been saved to do a little something in our life. And so Isaiah 58 simply asks the question, does your Sunday change your Monday? Does your Sunday change your Monday? Does your relationship with God produce God-exalting justice and practical mercy and love and compassion? Then he's going to say, if so, you will break forth like the dawn. So let's take a look at it. Isaiah 58. Shout it aloud and don't hold back. I think Isaiah is trying to get our attention here. He's not just kind of meandering in and saying, can I give you a little feedback on your life? No, he's saying, I'm going to shout it aloud and don't hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. You see, he's going to give us the indictment here. He's going to tell us what we're doing wrong. He's going to say, this is what I see. This is the indictment that I have. And the indictment is they do Christian things. They do godly things, but God doesn't notice. This is the indictment. Declare to my people their rebellion, the house of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. That's a good thing. To seek after God every day. Can I get an amen? That is a good thing. To seek after God day and day. So they're having their quiet time. They're doing what they're asked to do. Day after day you seek me. They seem eager to know my ways. They're trying to find out what God wants and desires. As if you're a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions. They're praying. They're going to small group. They're going to church. They're going through what they're supposed to do in their eyes. They ask me for just decisions. They seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say? Why have we lived our life? Why have we been this Christian, for saying? They say, and you've not seen it. Anybody else ever feel like that in your life? I'm kind of grooving through this, but what's going on? Why have we humbled ourselves and you haven't noticed? See, there's a disconnect here. What is that disconnect? Their Sunday's not changing their Monday. their Sunday is not changing who they are and how they're living their lives. We've humbled ourselves. You have none. Yet on the day of fasting, you do as you please. Oh, I read that and I go, ouch. Anybody else? Am I the only one in this room that wants to get my own way? Do you want to get your way? Right? Let's be honest, you know? We kind of maybe guise it a little bit in some kind of loving language. Yet under fast, you do as you please. You exploit your workers. They use people. We're made to worship God, deny self, love people, and use things. But the world turns it around. Worship self, deny God, love things, and use people. Because the Sunday, their time with God, is not changing how they live. So they're not worshiping God and denying self and loving people and using things. Their struggle is they're worshiping themselves, they're denying God, they're loving things, and they're using people. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. We don't do that. We just post on Facebook. Can I get an amen? Isn't it strange how sometimes we look at this and we go, I've seen friends that have been friends for decades that no longer are friends. Anybody else seen that? We have this malicious talk. He's going to talk later about this pointing finger that we have. We've entered into the idea that the world is all about tribes and tribalism. And if you're not a part of my tribe, then you are against me. Have you seen that? And that's what God is talking about here. You can't fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for a man to humble himself? Only for a Sunday, not changing your Monday? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying on sackcloth and ashes? Only for a Sunday, not changing your Monday? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? So we have this indictment. They're arguing. When, as a church, we argue and we fuss one another. We argue about how to make disciples, but we don't make disciples. We argue about how to do evangelism, but we don't do evangelism. We got to get rid of this pointing finger. We got to step back and humbly understand that my relationship with God has got to change my relationship with one another too. And my Sunday has got to change my Monday. We're a missional church. We're a simple church. We're a gospel-centered church. As an aside, I kind of laugh at folks that say they want to be the Acts church. You know what I'm talking about? And I get it. You want to be Acts 2 and 4. That's a great place, right? They held everything in common. They cared for one another. Whatever. Nobody wants to be Acts 5 where they lied about money and got killed, right? Anybody want to be the Acts 6 church where they fussed about race? Maybe we want to be the Acts Church of Corinth where they slept around with one another and sued everybody. I think it's time for us to take a step back, understand that our Sunday's got to change our Monday, change how we interact with ourselves, interact with the world, how we interact with God. So that's the indictment. You remember the old message, it's Friday but Sunday's coming? All right? Friday as in Good Friday, Jesus died, but Sunday's coming. Isaiah 58 flips that around and says, it's Sunday, but Monday's coming. Does your Sunday change your Monday? And so then here he goes. So not only do we have this indictment, now we see the calling. Seven good deeds, seven things that God is saying that if your Sunday changes your Monday, if your time with God changes who you are, these seven deeds will overflow from our lives to people all around us. This is not the kind of fasting I've chosen. Verse 6, to loose the chains of injustice, to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free, and to break every yoke. I don't know about you all, I read that and I go, dang, that's hard work. Anybody else? I read that and I go, what? How do I do that? The thing I love about God is here in a couple seconds, he's going to show us what it means. But I want to talk to you about fighting injustice. One in nine men in America will at some point in time be imprisoned. One in nine. Remember, we're the country that imprisons any more people than anybody in the world, and we live in a state that imprisons more people than any other state in this country. We are not going to arrest our way out of problems. That doesn't mean that we don't have to deal with law and order. It doesn't mean that. But you know what? It's 1 in 17 white men that are put in jail, but it's 1 in 3 African Americans, 1 in 6 Latinos. What about for ladies? 1 in 56 ladies will go to prison at some point in time in their life. 1 in 111 white women, 1 in 18 African American women, and 1 in 45 Latina women. I say that because we've got to take a step back and understand that we have a system that is broken because it's led by broken people. And we can't step back and look at this. How do I know that? I got a guy. We got a guy that I know who spent months in jail because he had a screwdriver in his pocket in Orleans Parish. He got charged with break-ins all around the neighborhood because he had a screwdriver in his pocket. Every day he'd go to court. Whenever he'd have to go to court at least once a month, the public defender would take care of him. They'd go, "What is your name? What are you here for?" "I can't deal with that now." And they'd continue it month after month after month after month after month after month. Family finds out, he gets out of jail. So then he's got to go to court again once a month, same public defender. "What's your name? Why are you here?" Month after month after. So this has gone on almost 2 years. We hear about it, giving $500 to get a lawyer. Mistake I made is I didn't follow up on the lawyer. The lawyer took the money and ran. So then he pleads guilty to a gross misdemeanor because he had a screwdriver in his pocket. And now he's got a $1,200 fine. He's a bipolar, schizophrenic, homeless guy. How's he going to pay $1,200? We have to take a step back and look at this. We have to take a step back and look at this, you know, because crack cocaine was an epidemic that was a law and order epidemic where we got three strikes and you're out, where what happened was you would get 10 to 20 times the amount of time in jail for crack cocaine as you do powder cocaine. Crack cocaine's found in the hood where most minorities live. Powder cocaine is found in the suburbs where majority culture lives. But then all at once we have an opioid crisis, and we do. Can I get an amen? I'm not discounting that, but isn't it interesting that we have an opioid crisis that is called a mental health issue when we already have laws on the books that if you have possession of an opioid, you need to go to jail. Isn't it interesting that we flipped the script on that? One was law and order. The other one is a mental health issue. Again, I'm not saying that this isn't a mess. I'm not saying, but the church needs to jump into some of this, not to the exclusion of the gospel, not to the effect of pushing the gospel aside, but it is a part of who we are. Because God is saying what? The kind of fasting I've chosen, to loose the chains of injustice, to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free, and to break every yoke. So God is talking about we need to fight injustice around it. And then what I love about God is God goes, "All right, in case you need help, John," because John needs help. I don't know about you. "In case you need help, John, I'm going to help you out. To loose the chains of injustice, maybe, just maybe, it means this, to share your food with the hungry." In other words, God's asking, if your Sunday changes your Monday, what do you do with the food in your pantry? What do you do with the extra fish in your freezer? God is saying this. Then he goes on to provide the poor wanderer with shelter. God is asking, what do you do with your spare bedroom? God's saying, if your Sunday changes your Monday, it changes how you deal with people. Not only that, he says, and to see the naked, and when you see the naked, to clothe him. Don't call it Mardi Gras, clothe him. Can I get an amen? All right. What do you do with the clothes in your closet? So maybe, just maybe, this whole justice thing, it is big issues, but some of it is simple. Because that's who God is and what God wants us to do. He wants our Sunday to change our Monday. He wants our Sunday and our time with him to change our interaction with one another. And then he says this, and to not turn away your own flesh and blood. Anybody else got family that you really struggle with? All right, I got two people telling the truth. The rest of y'all are lying, all right? Isn't it that way? Sometimes isn't it easier to deal with strangers than your own family? Sometimes isn't it easier to say, you know what, I've had it with you. I don't want to deal with that anymore. But God says, don't turn away your own flesh and blood. Then what's he say? So he's calling us to do that, all right, to not turn away the difficult in our family. And then finally, at verse 9, he's saying this. In verse 9, he says, then you'll call to me and you'll cry out to me and answer and you'll cry for help and I will be there. Say, here I am. And then he says this, if you do away with the yoke of oppression, it's coming back again. Now, with the pointing finger and malicious talk. I read that, y'all, and I don't know about you, my soul grieves. Because there's sometimes I want to get out my finger and tell somebody something. Anybody else? There's sometimes I want to say, you don't understand. And we live in a nation that does that continually, amen? And unfortunately, we live in a body of Christ that has a tendency to do that at times too. What are these young people all about? Right? Well, I'm excited about the next generation. How about yesterday, y'all? They want to be a generation that is about justice and not just going to church, but being to church. But then for you young folk, I want to take a step back and say, well, then let's learn what God's heart for justice is. Because justice isn't just a compassionate, give a speech, do something to feel good about yourselves. Justice means you are tirelessly involved in people's lives. So he's saying, you got to get rid of this. You got to get rid of this. So he said, respect one another. Do away with the pointing finger and malicious talk. And then finally at verse 10, he says, if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed. If you spend yourselves, if you spend your soul in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs, the soul of the afflicted, of the oppressed. So God is saying, if your Sunday changes your Monday, what do you do with people that are broken and bruised, the disenfranchised, the left out? When I used to be a history teacher and bored people there, I would go and had the worst duty in the history of the world for a teacher is lunchroom duty. I'm going to sit here and watch you eat. But every time I was in the lunchroom, there was always somebody sitting by themselves in the lunchroom. Then I became a youth pastor. And you know what? There's always somebody sitting by themselves in youth group. Then I became a pastor, and there's always somebody sitting by themselves at church. Maybe, just maybe, doing justice means leaving my comfort zone, leaving my clique, and sitting by somebody new. Maybe, just maybe, it means leaving where I want to be, where I feel good, and sitting by somebody that is broken and bruised and battered. Because you know what? I love that Jesus did that with me. Anybody else? I love that he dropped down from heaven. He stopped and saw our need. He dropped down from heaven, and he sat right next to me. I love that about my Savior. Anybody? Come on, somebody else say amen. I love that about Jesus. He just didn't say that, man, there's injustice, there's crap everywhere in the world. Jesus didn't say, man, somebody got to do something about that. He crawled, he came down from heaven, and he sat right next to you. Because that's who he is, and that's what he does. We need to respect one another, get rid of this malicious talk. We need to love people till we drop. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love God with all you got and love people till you drop. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's a Sunday changing a Monday. See, if your Sunday changes your Monday, then this is what God will do. So this is the result. And the result is pretty simple. It's a if-then. You know if-then in Scripture? If you do this, then this will happen, right? We have a good friend in Iowa. His daughter is an interesting lady. And so what she has done in elementary school, in junior high, and even in high school, she'll look at her parents and say she wants to do this, and she'll ask, what's the punishment? And then she'll decide if she's going to do it. I don't think I could have done that with Burdette and Pauline. Because I know what my dad would have done. He'd have given me the punishment right away just for asking it, right? That's the if then. If I do this, then what will happen? And you know what? I kind of like if ands in life, right? And God is saying, if you do this, if your Sunday changes your Monday, then he gives a whole lot of list of what this if and says. Then your light will break forth like the dawn. As we say in my neighborhood, you'll get your shine on. You will break forth like the dawn, and people will see it and go, what's up with you? You're different. And on the inside, all you got to say is, man, my Sunday changed my Monday, baby. So your light will break forth like the dawn. Your healing will quickly appear. He will be the healer of wounds. Anybody else in here wounded? Anybody else in here feel beat down and broken? God says if your Sunday changes your Monday, if your relationship with God changes that, he's going to be your healer. And your righteousness will go before you. And the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. God will have your back. Anybody else had friends that said they're going to have your back, but they didn't? Anybody else have family that said, I'm going to take care of you, but they didn't? But I know that my Savior and my God, when he says he'll do it, he will do it. And he's saying if your Sunday changes your Monday, God's saying, I got your back. No matter what they say about you at school, no matter what they say about you at work, no matter how the neighbors think about you, God's saying, I have got your back. And then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here I am. Oh, I need that. Anybody else? Anybody else cry out in the darkness? Cry out when you're beaten and bruised and you wonder, where is God? And God's saying, if your Sunday changes your Monday, God's saying, here I am, John. Here I am. Here I am. You cry out and you hear us. Then he reminds us again. Here's the if. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and the malicious mean talk, and if you spend yourselves, you pour your life out in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then we get another then. That's how God works. Then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like noonday. You ever beg God for morning? Because let's face it, man, the devil works hard, amen? And he works hard at night. Why? Because you're laying there. And it's his opportunity to speak a little bit of junk in your ear. Speak a little junk. That's why when that starts happening in my life, I just do a simple prayer. By the power and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command, I do not suggest, I command Satan and all evil to leave my presence. My mind is a safe place for God and me. A place of love, joy, peace, and contentment. God is again saying, the if then. God is saying, I'm going to hear you, and when it seems darkest, that sun's going to come up, and it's going to be bright, and he's going to lead you through that. And so he continues on. He says that. He goes on to say, your light will be there. Then the Lord will guide you always. Guide you when? Help me. Oh, you're not helping me. Guide you when? Always. Not sometimes. Not when God feels like it. And sometimes not even when I feel like listening to him. God will always guide. The Lord will all guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in the sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Oh, I love that. He will be our strength. Our souls will be satisfied when they're scorched. Anybody else go and buy stuff and do stuff and try to be stuff that doesn't do any good for your soul? God says, I'm going to take care of you, baby. I'm going to take care of you. Even when you're scorched, even when you feel like you can't take it, even when you feel like, man, I'm going to die. God says, here I am, here I am. But your Sunday's got to change your Monday. And your light will break forth like the dawn. God will be your strength. You'll be so watered that you'll become a spring of water for others. So it's not just him giving it to us. You'll be like a well watered, like a spring whose waters never fail. And this is the part I love. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins, will rise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of the broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. That's why in Central City, New Orleans, we want to make a neighborhood where kids can ride their bikes. That's the image I have right here of that statement. We want to ride their bikes to schools of excellence, to a safe place to gather, to a church that cares, and we're changing it to a transformed household, not just a house they own. But that's what God wants to do. And you know what that means? That means preaching the gospel, sharing our lives, and dealing with the stuff and the garbage and all the things that are all around us. We can't ignore it. We can't. You'll be like a well water, you water for others. God will use you to rebuild, to bring his redemption to a messed up world, to bring life and hope. If your Sunday changes your... So that's the question. God's saying, I've got an indictment against you. Your Sunday's not changing your Monday. Your Sunday's not changing how you deal with people, let alone how you deal with me. God's saying, does your Sunday change your Monday? And if you do, then joy will fill your life. If you call the Sabbath the delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, if you honor it by not going your own way and doing as you please and speaking idle words, then you will find joy. Then you will what? Find joy. You didn't help me. You will find what? Joy. Wow. Anybody else in here need a little joy? If then, does your Sunday change your Monday? That's what he's saying here. Then you will find joy in the Lord. I will cause you to ride up on the heights of the land. Now remember, he's talking, this is a military image of being up on top of the hill where you can control things. Because that's where you want to be when you fight. You don't want to be down in the valley. You want to be up in the mountain. And God's saying, I'm going to take you there to be able to do that if your Sunday changes your Monday. So one of the things we got to do is we got to get out of tribalism. I'm Baptist, I'm evangelical free. That's one way we do it. I'm Reformed, I'm not Reformed. We do that all the time. Can I get an amen? We got to get out of groupthink. Groupthink is when psychological phenomena that occurs within a group in which the desire for harmony and conformity in the group results in irrational and dysfunctional decision making. We got to get to gospel think. Gospel think means submitting our entire worldview to the gospel. Our Sunday changing our Monday. Putting our class, our race, our politics, disputable matters in Scripture under submission to God's will and God's kingdom. And also understanding the totality of the gospel is both vertical and horizontal. God sent Christ to die that we would be reconciled to one another. Amen? That's the vertical part of God's love and justice, if you make this L. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. There's this vertical of being reconciled to God. You get time today, look at Ephesians chapter 2. The first part of it talks about the vertical. The next part talks about God's love and justice in the horizontal. Verse 10, we started with it. You're God's poinea, God's workmanship, created to do great things that God's prepared beforehand for you to do. Now, if I'm writing the Bible, I'm going to start making a list of all these great things you can do. Thank God I didn't write the Bible. Amen? What does God say through Paul? His next thing is unity. Jesus died to destroy the barrier, the dividing wall between Greek and Jew, which is bigger than the dividing wall between haves and have-nots, between black and white, between Hispanic and Native American. So that we have this vertical component and this horizontal component. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God to you. Love God with all you got. Love people till you drop. And we live at the intersection. That's where we need to live. When our Sunday changes our Monday, we live at this intersection. My mom's 89 years old. She still drives. It's scary. But in this our little town in Wisconsin, they make roundabouts. They put roundabouts in. My 89-year-old mom is going nuts. When do you go in? When do you get out? How do you go in? How do you get out? What are they going to do? Roundabouts are messy, amen? Intersections are messy, amen? God wants us to live in the intersection. Love God with all you got and love people till you drop. Let your Sunday change your Monday and watch your light shine forth. Watch your healing come. Watch you become not just a living water for yourself, but a spring of living waters that flows to everybody around you. couple weeks ago, I'm hanging out in the Melpomene Project, taking a little walk. As I'm taking a little walk, I remember the day before when we pick up kids for camp, and we got a phone call, why didn't you come pick up our daughters, yada, yada, and then they ask us to do things that are biologically impossible, okay? And so they hung up on our director, and so I'm like, well, let me call. So I said, not even let me call, I'm going to stop by. So I stopped by, because you know what? Every now and then it wears you out. Can I get an amen? I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say I'm perfect, that I didn't want to go there and give her a piece of my mind, right? Come on, baby, this is a free camp. You get a free pickup, you're going to be swearing at us. You know what God said to me? John, it doesn't matter. Pulled up at the house, and there's Toot. You know what? Toot would have been in one of those vans when we went up to camp in the 90s. She came out, she said, hey, coach. And I got to admit, man, I didn't recognize her. Now, she gave me her nickname, and I figured it all out. But it all changed. But you know what? My Sunday when I left wasn't changing my Monday. Then I'm walking in the Melf Project, and I walk over to Miss Ann's house. Miss Ann's part of the leadership there in the Melpomene Project, and there's her son, Sean. Sean Williams was probably the funniest kid that I've ever worked with in my entire life. Grossly inappropriate in his humor, because there was times I'd have to say to him, Sean, that's very, very funny, but you need to shut up. See, we kind of talk to people a little differently in the hood than here, all right? And Sean said, man, I'm like, well, what are you doing now? He's a sheriff's deputy in Jefferson Parish. Which I'm like, yeah, exactly. I'm like, this African-American kid that grew up in the projects. And he starts talking about Glenn and going to camp. And he says, you know what, that changed my life and all my friends' lives. And you see, it wasn't rocket science, y'all. It wasn't a great program. It was letting a Sunday change a Monday and getting involved in people's lives. Sitting by somebody new. Taking a risk. Not seeing my Christianity as something I do, but as something I am. My Sunday changing my Monday. So I left there and walked out. Walking down the street, walking down Thalia Street, and this 13-year-old comes up to me, Jarman. He said, hey, can I come to day camp? Well, we can only do day camp for 6 to 11-year-olds because we have 150 registered, so we just can't do more. And I'm like, dude, I'm sorry, you can't come. He kind of gives me this look. He said, well, I used to come. And then he pulls up his shirt and shows me where he was shot 2 months ago because somebody accused him of stealing something. I'm dying on the inside. I'm like, baby, you can come to anything. You know, but I know, gosh, if I do that, we're going to have 8 gazillion. We're not going to be able to handle it. But then I can tell him, you know what? You can come on Tuesday nights. You can come where Tyrone, who was riding that bus to camp, who's now taking kids to camp, can be with you and hang with you. You can come and get some help, learn how to read better. Because one of the things our government does is it looks at illiteracy rate of kids in elementary school. That and a few other things they use as a matrix to decide how many prison beds they need in 15 years. When our Sunday changes our Monday, y'all, sometimes it means just taking a walk. Sometimes it's not like we got to have this great thing all figured out. We need to be involved in people's lives. Loving, caring, sharing the gospel. Never giving up on them, but never giving in to them either. Because God says if your Sunday changes your Monday, then your light will break forth like the dawn. Your healing will quickly appear. You will cry out to me and God will say, here I am. You'll be watered even though your soul is scorched. And then you will become a spring that wells up into other people. Who's the Jarman in your life? Who is that person in your life that God's saying, you need to go sit by him? Who's that guy in the office that you really don't like? What about your neighbor that is a pain? And God's saying, go knock on the door. Does your Sunday change your Monday? Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, as we've already talked, thank you, God, that you've shown us in your word that when we accept you and walk in faith, that we are this work of art. We are your workmanship created to do great things that you prepared for us to do. Thank you, Lord, that today in your word you've shown us, God, that you've shown me again that there's areas in my life where my Sunday is not changing my Monday. It's not changing my attitude. It's not changing how I look at people, how I serve people. So, Holy Spirit, look in our hearts. Let us know. But more than that, God, may we be a people of your love and justice, a people of your gospel first and foremost, but also a people that say, my Sunday changes my Monday. It changes how I deal with people, how I love folk. It changes the patience I have for people. It changes my attitude about folk. But Lord, may it also change our actions. Give us a Jarman in our lives, Lord. Give us two. Give us three. Because you've already declared that we're your workmanship created to do great things. So, Lord, may our Sunday change our Monday. May our Sunday change our Tuesday. May our Sunday change our Wednesday. May our Sunday change our Thursday. May our Sunday change our Friday. May our Sunday change our Saturday. That you, Lord, would break forth like the dawn. That you, Lord, would show your love, your compassion, your justice, your salvation. And God, it is amazing that you want to use little old us to do that. And Lord, we declare today that we will have our Sunday, our time with you, change our Monday. That you would be glorified. That you would be lifted up. That your redemption and restoration would flow to families in Covington and Mandeville and Franklinton. Would flow to families in Central City, New Orleans, in the 7th Ward, in the lower 9th Ward. Lord, it would flow to families in Haiti today that are wondering what's going to happen as the revolts are happening, God. Protect all the missionaries. Protect the believers that are there, Lord. I think of Enoch and others, Lord, that have given their lives in Haiti. Lord, would you not only protect them, but would they be a voice of justice and love and reason at a time that desperately needs it? Lord, would you flow that into Hawaii? Would you flow that into Tibet? Would you flow that all over the world? That those of us that say we're your child, that our Sunday is going to change our Monday. And all God's people said. Now would you stand, please? And now to him. Who saw our need and came down from heaven. Who sat next to us when we're hurting and bruised and broken. Who crawled upon the cross and died. To him who then rose again. To him we give permission for our Sunday to change our Monday. And all God's people said, amen. Go in peace.